Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Dennis Dodd now, national college football writer at CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter. Dennis Dodd CBS is his handle. Dennis, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Stephen. How are you?
Doing very well. Dennis, have you been offered the head football coaching position at Tennessee yet?
I have not, but there's a call coming in right now from Knoxville, so I don't know.
Don't answer.
Yes. Yeah. Ignore. let's just start there because I've been captivated by this story the past couple of days. I would say it's unbelievable, but I don't. It's really not. It's crazy to watch what's become of the Tennessee football program, and now they're searching for the next head coach. What do you think of what's transpired over the past couple of days?
Well, it started with the fact that in this silly season, you could see it coming. Someone was going to be left out. There wasn't enough home run hires to go around. There just aren't. And Tennessee is in that spot right now. Roots Chris ran out of fillets in Knoxville, and they're down to hamburger. I mean, that's basically it. That's what I wrote when this thing all happened Sunday. And then you combine that with the fact that Tennessee still doesn't realize who it is. On a good day, it's maybe the fifth best program in the SEC. And Greg Schiano was a fine coach, you know, and this stuff that came up about him had been public for years. It had been conflated by protesters who didn't want him as coach, using faux moral outrage that he had somehow enabled Jerry Sandusky, which was absolutely false. It's been proven. He was vetted by three people of entities that have hired him since then, since he left Rutgers. So that's off the table. But now it's just that, you know, who are they going to get? The job is somewhat toxic. I saw Mike Gundy played them. Apparently, Mike Gundy interviewed with Tennessee, but knowing Mike Gundy a little bit, I think Mike Gundy just likes to be liked sometimes. He likes to show T-Boone and Mike Holder, the AD, you know, who he is and what he's done for the school, which is a lot. So I never thought that would happen. I think he'll retire to his ranch in Stillwater before he ever goes to another school, unless he, you know, goes 2-10 one year. So it's bad. There are comps. If you briefly, if you'll indulge me, there are comps in this. June Jones was run out of town after his name leaked at Arizona State in 2011. And if you remember George O'Leary at Notre Dame, remember the yep. Resume slap? Not yep. really a fan thing, but Notre Dame got all high and mighty and decided a little discrepancy in a resume was worth not going through with him.
I wanted to ask you about Lane Kiffin, because you wrote about Lane Kiffin and this Tennessee job, and I keep having to make sure that Lane Kiffin's Twitter account is verified and it's not someone pretending to be Lane Kiffin, because an hour ago he retweets the story of Mike Gundy deciding to remain at Oklahoma State. And he tweets out, "The mullet stays put, LOL." I mean, he's just, this is, I love it. I love it. And like, he retweeted, he retweeted your story, didn't he?
And love that.
Oh, yeah. And so, like your story was, you know, as this Tennessee thing plays out, as Tennessee again finds itself engulfed in flames, Lane Kiffin waits by his phone. He retweets that and says, "As Tennessee again finds itself in goes in flames, Lane Kiffin waits by his phone, not waiting at all, and just
just here ready to win another football game."
Right? It's fantastic. But so is there a chance this could happen? Because I think that would be fantastic for everyone involved.
I wrote that Sunday. I just suggested Lane Kiffin represents stability right now at Tennessee. I mean, look, a guy who was vilified for not making it to the second year sure as heck beats a guy who couldn't make it to Monday. you know. And that was my only point, that we know all the flaws with Lane Kiffin. But that fan base, which is now, I guess, you know, Bubba and Pigeon Forge has to approve the next hire. Would they not like this? Absolutely they'd like it. But sometimes, kids, I'm talking to Tennessee fans, you have to let the adults in the room decide what's best. You can't start an internet, war to try to get your guy in there. And by the way, look what you've done.
Yep.
They're looking at Kevin Steele right now, and I love Kevin Steele. His head coaching record is 9-36 at Baylor. He may be the assistant coach of the year, the Burrells Award winner at Auburn. But, you know, what are we talking about now?
Well, and another name that we've heard thrown out is Dave Dorn, a guy that I've been a huge fan of since he was at Kansas as an assistant coach. I wanted him to get the Kansas job when Charlie Weiss got the job instead. He's winning games at North Carolina State now. He was in the hot seat, which I think is absurd that he was on the hot seat. It shows you what silly season it is in college football when North Carolina State thinks that 7-6 every year is not good enough for them. But anyway, he was on the hot seat. They're doing better than that this year, so he's not on the hot seat anymore. And he's a candidate, and we were having an open discussion as to whether or not he should consider leaving North Carolina State for Tennessee. 10 years ago, that would have been the dumbest 5 years ago, that would have been the dumbest question ever. But I honestly don't know that I would want to walk into that toxic situation, even if I'm Dave Dorn. What do you think of that name, and what do you think of if he has the choice to make? Is it a difficult one?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that's what I say about the Tennessee job right now. It's just toxic because of what I just said. It's literally going, the new hire is literally going to have to be vetted by Bubba and Pigeon Forge, you know, the man on the street, because of what has happened here. Now, Mike Gundy, I tweeted John Curry last night, said if you get Gundy, that's coming back from down 9 with 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th. That'd be a great hire. But in my heart of hearts, I never thought it would happen. You know, I guess if you're Dave Dorn, you have to take that leap because there's more resources there, more tradition. They're desperate to win. But look how they treated the last guy.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing. If you're going to Texas A&M, you know, these schools are going to have to overpay for whoever they get because of the crazy-ass fan bases. So I think he would take it if offered, but, you know, buyer beware.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, I guess part of the reason I might not consider it is, I think if you're a coaching prospect, you've got to think what Bubba and Pigeon Forge is going to say, because I don't want to walk into a job where I'm booed at my arrival, you know, and where I lose 2 games and already they're calling for me to get fired. I mean, yeah, it'd be great to have a job at a high profile school, but if they already hate you before you take the job, are you setting yourself up for failure?
Yeah, in the athletic department is the athletic building is set up like right on a street corner in right in the middle of Knoxville, ready made for protesters. That's where a lot of them went Sunday when this thing broke out. So, you know, no one's been seen around there since then. So, yeah, I agree with everything you said.
All right. So like you mentioned, there's so many coaching changes going on. I just want to run down a couple of them and maybe just get your quick thoughts on either the opening or the hire. Chip Kelly at UCLA.
Home run number one hire in this silly season by far.
Dan Mullen at Florida.
Maybe number two. And I would say as a fourth choice at Florida, that's a heck of a hire because apparently they went after Chip Kelly. They went after Mike Gundy, they went after, I'm trying to remember the third guy, and to come up with Dan Mullen, a legacy there with 2 championship rings, Tim Tebow, all that he's done is great for Florida.
They went after Scott Frost, right?
Or Scott Frost, yeah, you're right.
Ole Miss with Matt Luke.
I think he was probably, he did okay in a season where they had nothing to play for, but apparently those sanctions are coming out this week. And at Ole Miss, and they may not have been able to get anyone of substance. I mean, it's, you know, he's sort of a bridge coach until they know what they're dealing with.
All right, we'll see who you think's going to be the new head coach with these vacancies. Texas A&M, is it Jimbo Fisher?
I can't predict that. I just told somebody on our podcast that I think Jimbo Fisher could wake up tomorrow and decide either way. I think it's strictly up to Jimbo Fisher. There's a story out there where he's got maybe a strained relationship with some of the administrators on campus, but Florida State right now, you can get there from there easier than you can from A&M. You inherit that cement ceiling of Nick Saban and Alabama and the SEC West. You get your quarterback back next year at Florida State, you're immediately back competing for a national championship. So I think it's I don't know what Jimbo's thinking half the time. This would be the third year he's kind of flirted with somebody. LSU the past 2 years, I can't predict.
What about Nebraska?
Well, it looks, for all intents and purposes, like Scott Frost after the American title game on Saturday. But how about this? If Jimbo goes to Texas A&M,
right,
and Florida State hires Willie Taggart after 1 year at Oregon, what's to keep Phil Knight from bringing his awesome power to bear to get Scott Frost to Oregon? They have a close relationship. Scott Frost loves Phil Knight. I visited Scott Frost in the summer of 16 before his first year, and he basically told me that Nike re-upped with UCF because he got hired. So what does that tell you? I think he'd have a decision to make. It's home, Nebraska, but is Oregon a better and easier place to coach right now?
But then who would go to Florida State?
Well, that would be Willie Taggart from Oregon.
Right. So you
creating that opening at Oregon.
But you think that's if Fisher goes to A&M, you think that's a pretty sure thing that Taggart goes to Florida State?
Well, his name is being mentioned prominently. I'm told he would have crawled to Florida or Florida State. I guess he wasn't in the mix that much at Florida, but he's from there. He's coached there. He's got a lot. He's recruited there. I'm talking about the state of Florida. I think he'd be a fine pick. He's done great at Western Kentucky and had a fine opening season at Oregon.
Would Florida State not go directly after Scott Frost as well?
I don't think there's the fit there. The competition was between Florida and Nebraska, because Florida had an opening. They fired Jim McElwain during the season. And so I don't think Scott Frost is, I think he's dedicated now to Nebraska unless something dramatic happens. I don't think he goes to Florida State because Florida State opens up on December, whatever it is, 3rd or something like that. I think he's married to Nebraska unless the Oregon thing opens up.
Who do you think lands in Arkansas?
Mike Norvell is a prominent name there, the Memphis coach who's done great things in 2 seasons. You hear Brent Venables, but I just don't see it. He's had plenty of opportunities to take big time jobs over the years, and for whatever reason hasn't been interviewed or whatever. So I'm told that Mike Norvell is the guy there if he wants it.
What do you think of the Herm Edwards to Arizona State rumors?
I'm stunned. This is John Gruden West. He's 63 years old. He hasn't coached at all in the NFL. When's the last time he coached?
I can't remember. Right?
He hasn't coached in college since the 1980s, 30 years. So we're talking about a TV celebrity taking over a major college football program. Now, the AD, Ray Anderson, was in the administration of the NFL, so that kind of is the connection. Boy, would they do a lot better with Kevin Sumlin, don't you think?
I thought I read that the AD was at one time Herm's agent.
That may have been.
I'm with you. I mean, I think Kevin Sumlin would be a great hire for somebody somewhere.
Yeah, you play to lose the game at Arizona State, Herm. That's not a good hire.
Why wouldn't Tennessee go after Kevin Sumlin?
That's a good point now. It may come to that. But as I said, as we said up top, the job is so damaged now that people are going to be scared away from it. After what Kevin Sumlin went through at Texas A&M, his AD calling him out, a regent calling him out, the racist letter he received, right, the way he was treated, finding out he was fired coming off the practice field last week, why do you want to climb into all that at Tennessee? I mean, seriously. He's being paid whatever his entire buyout in a 60-day period after he's let go. But he's going to be fine. If he wants to do TV for a year, that's fine. But the Arizona State thing makes too much sense now.
Well, one other hire I didn't ask you about. So Mississippi State is going to hire Penn State offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead.
Great hire. Joe Moorhead, one of the most respected offensive coordinators in the game. If you look, you know, Penn State won the Big Ten last year. They're ranked in the top 10 of the CFP this year, going 10-2. He's done great things with Trace McSorley, and particularly Saquon Barkley, making him an all-purpose threat this year. And he's a great play caller. You know, he's from Fordham. I'm kind of surprised he went to the South and, you know, to the right in Starkville, which is the deep South. I think he'll do great things for them, and watch for Nick Fitzgerald to have a fantastic year next year.
All right, so the three local schools all have interesting stories around their coaches between Missouri, Kansas State, and Kansas. Let's start with Missouri.
Yeah.
Most people anticipated Barry Odom to be on the hot seat right now and for there to be a decision from Jim Sterk. And now it appears after winning six games in a row, the decision is whether or not to give Barry Odom an extension right now in the offseason. What's your reaction to what has happened over the past couple of months with Missouri?
I think it's great for Barry Odom. It's great for Missouri. It's just, you know, you can't say anything except it's great football. They turned it around. You know, people want to look at, Idaho and Connecticut and Kentucky and Florida, teams without coaches. And I said, look, the opposite of that is losing to those teams. So what do you want them to do? They won. You know, Drew Locke is going to be, if he stays, is going to be on the cover of magazines next year as, you know, the SEC passing or single season touchdown leader. I think they've got a lot going for them right now. He should get an extension. That's the way the world works. You know, you're 1-5 and you win six in a row. I think they're tied. I want to say they're tied for the fourth longest winning streak in the country right now. You can't look at it any other way. It's been a fantastic turnaround.
What about Kansas State? We had all this story that came out with about Jim Leavitt, and now Kansas State, they finished strong. They win at Oklahoma State, then they beat Iowa State. They're headed to a bowl game. What do you make of Bill Snyder and his future with Kansas State?
Well, I think from what you just referenced, there's one guy that runs that entire, I guess, athletic department or football program, and he's not stepping down anytime soon, if in fact you want him to. You know, the fact, and I will say fact, that Jim Leavitt was going to be in place to replace him in 2018 was shot down by the head coach tells you all you need to know. And that story was accurate. It was true. When the president of the university is on board for that sort of transition, Jim Leavitt, coach in waiting, head coach in 2018, and gets overruled by his head coach, that's all you need to know about what's going on at Kansas State right now.
All right, what about Kansas? The vote of confidence came in. David Beatty is coming back, and the chancellor says that Shane Zenger's coming back as well. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess just that they each have one more year to turn it around. The $350 million football renovation be damned, you know, because that's the best thing Shane Zenger has going for him right now. He inherited Bill Self. It's hard to see progress there, obviously. And so all I can assume from that is that they're going to get one more year. I don't think it's a money thing, because I think David would be owed a $1.6 million buyout, or maybe $3 million, I thought I read that. Not really a big amount for a buyout, and that goes down obviously next year. So, you know, we'll see. It's really hard to hang your hat on anything at Kansas right now.
So back to where we started with Tennessee, who do you think they end up with when it's all said and done? Do you think we're headed towards them hiring T. Martin?
T. Martin doesn't call plays at USC. T. Martin is a legacy championship quarterback at Tennessee in 1998. I would point out that Sam Darnold at USC, who he's in charge of this year, maybe got worse than he was in 2016. He's still a great NFL prospect, but by some margin, wasn't as good as he was last year. I don't think you want a coordinator who's never called plays to run a program the size of Tennessee. But look, that may be what they're down to. You know, a Kevin Steele, a Butch Davis, a T. Martin. You know, the candidates are getting thinner right now.
All right, Dennis, I want to talk to you about some of these championship games. By the way, Sports Radio 810 WHB, as always, is your home for all of these conference championship games that will determine the college football playoff in many ways. We've got the Big 12 championship game on Saturday at 11 o'clock. We've got the ACC championship game. We'll join that in progress after the KU-Syracuse basketball game is over on Saturday night. That ACC championship game could be a really good one between Clemson and Miami. And then on our sister station, ESPN Radio 99.3, we'll have the SEC championship game between Auburn and Georgia as well. Let's start with that Big 12 championship game, Dennis. Look, I've said all along, I think that it's just another example of the Big 12 chasing their tail, being reactionary, and chasing the constantly moving goalposts by the playoff selection committee. To have this championship game in a league where everybody plays everyone, there is a true champion this year, and it's Oklahoma. And yet now Oklahoma, because they tried to put themselves in a position to have a better chance at the playoff, correct me if I'm wrong, but the only thing that can be accomplished with this championship game is that they could actually have their team knocked out of the playoff. Am I wrong there?
I just wrote a story that's posting right now that basically says if there was ever a year for the Big 12 not to have a championship game, mm-hmm. it's this year. All they can lose is a playoff spot, a Heisman, get their best players for their best team injured for the playoff by proving nothing, beating a team they've already beaten by 18 points. So, yeah, I mean, all those things you said were valid. I think that, you know, aside from the money, which I think is about $3 million per team, this was kind of a half measure after the dead-on-arrival expansion process played out over a year. And so they decided to do this. The good part is they're all on – all the Power Five now are playing 13 games. They all have a championship game, so they can sort of become judged equally at the end of the year. The bad part is the Big 12 has that guaranteed rematch. And, by the way, 7 of the 9 – championship games this week are rematches. For only the 7th time in history, the SEC has a rematch game. But the Big 12's own analytics, when they went to do this, tell them that it's more than 50% likely that the team that lost the first game will win the second game. So there you go.
Oh, Big 12.
Do you think is the best team in college football?
Oh, Auburn. I don't think there's any question. Now, in fact, I had them number one in my humble little top 25 this week. Big deal with them is their tailback, Kerryon Johnson, has got a shoulder. If he can't play, they're in big trouble against Georgia. He may be the SEC Offensive Player of the Year. He hurt it against Alabama and looked pretty bad. And they keep saying day-to-day, but it doesn't sound optimistic. And the backups there aren't the type of guys who are going to defeat or, you know, be able to gain big yards against Georgia, put it that way.
I'm going to root for Georgia. Just, you know, for the hell of it. Yeah. Just to see what happens.
What kind of a chance do you give Miami against Clemson?
Not much after what I saw against Pittsburgh. You know, I thought that a more, mature team would have taken care of business. That was a trap game going in noon on the Friday after Thanksgiving, bellies full of turkey, cold, at least for Miami, 50 degrees, and they just don't show up. They don't lose. They don't show up. And that's really bad. I thought at the best of matchups, Miami would have a problem matching up offensively with Clemson's defense, and I think that's the case, and that's the difference.
Who's your Heisman winner right now?
Oh, Mayfield, by far. You know, we can do another show on his antics and his behavior, but, you know, the Heisman was tainted a long time ago when Reggie Bush had to give his trophy back, but O.J. Simpson still has his, and I can give you other examples. So it's not about him. It's about the trophy. He's the best player in the country.
Where does your travel schedule take you? What are you going to be covering in person?
SEC champ game. And then, obviously, you move on to the playoff from there.
Dennis, thank you so much for the time. Great stuff.
All right. Thanks, guys. Nice doing it again.
That is Dennis Dodd. I thoroughly enjoyed that conversation. I mean, how many coaching hires, vacancies still? So much to talk about. Big games coming up.
And not one in the Big 12. Isn't that interesting? Now, look, the two most high-profile jobs in the Big 12 just changed hands last year.
Right.
That's part of it. But it's just interesting that there's these coaching changes all over the place, and there's not a single one in the Big 12.
Well, who's on the hot seat in the Big 12?
Well, I'm not saying anybody necessarily is on the hot seat. I mean, I guess they said that... my brain's...
What's going on over there?
Cliff Kingsbury?
Cliff Kingsbury, yeah.
You okay?
I got you.
Apparently,
you only have 30 minutes left, and you're done.
Of Texas Tech.
If they would have lost to Texas, there was a chance.
The Art DeLugage went down there and canned
him. But he didn't.
Holding his feet
so
to
like,
the fire.
So, like, Oklahoma, their coach's not going anywhere. TCU's in the championship game.
Yep.
Mike Gundy, he's not on the hot seat, but he was...
Well, you could have seen Campbell leave Iowa State and go somewhere. You could have seen Bill Snyder step down. You could have seen, I mean, obviously there were people calling.
I'm talking about the hot seat.
You know, people are saying that Dave Beatty was, but obviously not his athletic director.
He got the vote of confidence.
I mean, he's hired the Baylor coach, so they were bad, but he can't be on the hot seat after 1 year.
Right.
And there's no hot seat. I'm talking about fan bases like, we need to make a change.
Well, there's fan bases.
Like, what fan bases?
Well, the KU fan.
Kansas, but I mean, besides them.
Texas Tech and Kansas, I'd say, would be the only two.
Right.
But then, there's no coaching change in this conference at all. Right. Whether it's Matt Campbell leaving for a better job, Bill Snyder stepping down, somebody getting fired, nobody. Like, it's just interesting. And maybe that's a good thing for the conference. You know, a little consistency, maybe sometimes is a good thing.
Because, like, in the SEC, every fan base is pissed if they don't make the SEC title game and they want to fire their coach immediately.
Right.
Except for Alabama.
And where does that exactly get you sometimes? I mean, we've seen with Kansas, they fire their coach every 2 years. It doesn't get them anywhere. So maybe it's a good thing they stick with it for a little bit and see if they can actually get some traction in something. I don't know. I mean, you can err both ways. Sometimes you can stick with a guy too long, but other times you can be too quick to pull the trigger, you know? And like you said, every team in the SEC thinks they're national. If they're not national champions, then they're underachieving. And where exactly has that gotten Tennessee? To the point where no one wants the job.
So, I remember when I was told how Arkansas was going to dominate Missouri in this whatever rivalry they call it. What is it called?
It's the border war.
Battle line rivalry.
What does that mean, battle line? Is there?
It means that Missouri's won 3 out of 4 is what that means. Beat them here, beat them there. Beat them everywhere, pretty much. So. Yeah, I don't know. It's just not what I was led to believe.
They're getting you in basketball, though. At least they were, right?
Are they?
I don't know.
Arkansas. Just like, it was the old bait and switch, you know. You'll never beat Arkansas. And then now it's like, then you'll always beat Arkansas. Like, I don't know. That's like a...
Well,
I'm still figuring SEC football out, you know. I don't know about all this stuff.
Missouri wasn't going to be able to compete in football going to the SEC, and Nebraska was going to waltz into the Big Ten and start winning like
Why
crazy.
Why are you bringing up Nebraska now? No one is saying anything about Nebraska. Did I say anything about Nebraska, Jake?
And I didn't hear, there. No.
I'm talking about
Missouri. SEC.
I'm talking about Arkansas.
SEC.
I'm talking about, you can't beat Tennessee, SEC. Or you can beat them. Whatever, I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. It's a learning process.
Out of nowhere.
He comes over here.
Out of nowhere.
Well, why don't you help me figure that part out?
I don't understand. I'm not following Big Ten football. I don't know. I don't care. I know they're paying Bo Pelini $1.5 million a year still.
Fake Bo Pelini is still one of the best followers on Twitter to this day. Did they bring him back? Where is Bo Pelini now? Is he like Youngstown State or something like that?
I'm a fan of Bo Pelini. So.
I like Bo Pelini.
So I like it too because I like the stories of him like playing pickup games of basketball.
Punching people out.
Drop kicking the ball up into the stands. And
good.
Screaming at coaches of other programs that are playing pickup basketball with him. I like that stuff.
Nebraska!
That happens. Like, I remember playing, you know, like all the coaches would have a pickup game and, you know, football coach, basketball coach, soccer coach.
I think Scott Frost would kick ass there. I will say that. But that Dennis Dodd thing would have me a little nervous.
Yes.
See, I wonder how much Scott Frost, like how much love he has for his old State U. Because, you know, he was vilified by Nebraska fans for a portion of his career there.
Nebraska!
I think now, Scott Frost is a very, very good head coach.
He came back around and was a hero by the end of it. But for a while there, they blamed him.
Did they?
Not all, but
well, you sure know a lot about Nebraska football to be speaking for them right now.
I went up to a game when I was at KU. Some buddies of mine and I drove up there to watch KU get slaughtered by Nebraska, and we stumbled upon a frat party.
Nebraska.
Wait! Turn everything off. What?
We stumbled upon a frat party. We were in college at the time.
Oh, I thought this was like
no. I was in college. This was when Scott Frost was there too. And
you and frat parties.
And they were all going off on us about how the whole Lawrence Phillips thing was all Scott Frost's fault. And the whole fan base hated Scott Frost.
I don't know what you're talking about. Let me divorce myself from this conversation. I do not know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I wonder now then, you know, by the end of his career, they all loved him again. But I just wonder what his memories of Nebraska are. I don't know.
Probably loved it. But what Dennis Dodd said is the wild card in this thing. If Jimbo Fisher goes to Texas A&M, mm-hmm. and then Florida State hires Willie Taggart from Oregon, and then Oregon may come in and try to throw all this money at Scott Frost.
Because
then
Frost was the offensive coordinator at Oregon, right? Now, I don't understand why Florida State wouldn't try to go after Scott Frost as well.
Taggart's a stud.
He is.
I can tell you that right now.
So Scott Frost, and he's winning in Florida right now. And see, here's where I say, if we want to get this is just, it's so obvious, it would be so entertaining and so good if they would just go to a conference championship playoff format where every conference champ got in. And I mean everyone. I mean Central Florida got into the playoff.
How many things is he complaining about today, by the way?
All of them.
I'm not complaining. I'm giving a
every
solution
sport,
here.
Schools, different
tired
states
conversation.
And cities,
yes.
People.
I agree with you, Nate.
Why don't you guys listen to me?
Because it would be great if they did what you said, but they're not going to because there's still four more years on the TV deal.
Because they're stupid.
Yes,
because
they're stupid.
Because these amateur athletes, where they're making...
Because they're dumb, and they just keep making more and more money being stupid.
How awesome would it be, though, to see... I mean, look, Central Florida would probably get slaughtered by Clemson or whatever, but wouldn't you like to see it?
I'd rather see Central Florida in the college football playoff than...
It's
really
a
anyone
point.
Else.
I mean, it's a dumb conversation.
Wouldn't it be
have.
Awesome to see?
No, yeah.
Well, that's why I like watching the NCAA tournament, because I like watching Cinderella's play against Powers.
And everybody gets a shot. You win your conference, you get a shot.
Yeah, all you do is have to not lose in college football and you get a shot.
No, because Central Florida's not going to lose and they're not going to get a shot.
How do you know? And they could lose this weekend.
They haven't lost yet and they're not. Right. And if they don't, even if they win this weekend, they're not getting a shot. You get no shot.
Right, that's true.
It's just stupid. It's stupid.
No, they're going to go lose this weekend.
No, well, maybe.
What do you have against Central Florida?
Yeah.
I hate Nebraska and I hate Scott Frost.
Why? I can't even conduct a normal conversation with anyone about anything right now.
Why?
Did you watch how exciting that Central Florida game was over the weekend? The final 5 minutes, that was... Oh,
For the record, I don't hate Nebraska.
You said it.
Poor Seren Petro.
I've said a lot of things on this radio show.
What do you mean?
He's just been getting lit up by Central Florida fans because he doesn't have them ranked as high as they want to be ranked, and because he's got the AP vote.
Do you really feel sorry for Petro?
I mean, not most of the time. I don't feel sorry for him for anything, but I kind of feel bad for him on this one.
Why?
I mean, they're just coming after him like crazy.
So?
They should be.
Like, it doesn't
big
matter.
Boy. He's got his big boy pants on.
He does have. Look, he puts his big boy pants on
right.
when he votes.
He's fine.
He's
he can hold
it.
His own. He didn't need your sympathy.
But I just think like
he didn't need you feeling sorry for him.
That's an insult to Seren.
Right.
He needs your sympathy.
He does not need your sympathy.
Now you're taking a shot at Seren. Like
right.
he can't.
Why?
He can't.
Why, Nate?
He doesn't have enough backbone to handle it himself. You got to come in there.
Seren's my buddy. What
man,
you got?
Oh man.
Hey.
You're going to pick on a helpless, defenseless guy like Seren Petro. I'm going to come stand up for you.
Right.
You know what this is? I'll tell you exactly what this is all about.
What?
You're already looking ahead to Kansas and Syracuse and trying to start the fire here, and then you're going to fly off to Florida after you're trash-talking because Kansas is playing Syracuse, because you're still mad about the last time they played when Petro was there sitting next to you, letting you have it like you should have.
And you know, one of the things that makes me mad about that, too, is he's got a poster of my wife in his office.
What does that mean?
And that's inappropriate, isn't it?
Well, let me see the poster, and I'll give you my opinion.
My wife was a Crimson Girl
on the Ren
floor
Petro
at that game, and she's in the picture of Hakeem Warwick blocking the shot. So she's just in the background.
Right. It's not really a poster of your wife.
I'm just trying to still...
Curtis Siebold has a poster of your wife. Well, that's different.
Yeah, it's a lot different.
And back after this on WHB.